RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian migrant workers enthusiastically welcome President Joko Widodo in Hong Kong. Indonesian government committed to cooperating and helping Rakhine State to achieve peace. Effort of Indonesian government to overcome climate change is evaluated quite good. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met thousands of Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong on Sunday, April 30. President Joko Widodo continues his visit in Hong Kong from the Philippines after attending the 30th ASEAN Summit. Indonesian Consul General in Hong Kong, Tri Taryat, and Conrad Hotel Queensway Hong Kong said that there are 5,600 citizens who attend the event. Most of them are migrant workers who work in Hong Kong and Macau. This is the first visit of President Joko Widodo greeting Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong since he becomes president. Previously, former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono has came to Hong Kong in 2011. According to Tri Taryat, the migrant workers are very enthusiastic to welcome President Joko Widodo in Hong Kong and prepare to convey various aspirations.
Bapak Presiden adalah bertemu dengan warga negara Indonesia, tamu masyarakat yang sudah ditunggu-tunggu oleh warga negara Indonesia di Hong Kong.
The main event is the President meet with Indonesian workers, Indonesian people who are waiting for the moment in Hong Kong. The enthusiasm is very high. I apologize to those who missed the tickets since we have to follow the rules in Hong Kong and the capacity of the building is only for 5,600 people. Therefore, the community gathering event will be attended by 5,600 Indonesian people in Hong Kong and Macau. We also open invitation to friends in Macau. Furthermore, the Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in Hong Kong, Tri Taryat, said, during his visit in Hong Kong, President Joko Widodo wants to ensure that Indonesian citizens get protection from local authorities, given that there are currently about 172,000 Indonesians working in the country. In addition to meet with Indonesian workers, President Joko Widodo will also wants to meet Hong Kong businessmen. The president wants to attract more investments of Hong Kong entrepreneurs to Indonesia. In 2016, Hong Kong investment in Indonesia amounted to $2.25 billion. This number has increased to 225% compared from 2015, which only amounted to $691 million. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with State Councillor of Myanmar Aung San Suu Kyi on the sidelines of the 30th ASEAN Summit in Manila, Philippines on Saturday, April 29, 2017. During the meeting, they discussed the conditions in Myanmar and Rohingyas. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conveyed President Joko Widodo's message that stability must be maintained by the government. Minister Retno also conveyed the head of state's message about the Indonesian government's commitment to establish cooperation and assist Rakhine State to achieve peace. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the commitment was delivered in a bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Myanmar State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi in Manila, Philippines on Saturday. The point is to develop Rakhine State to be a peace region inclusively. No more discrimination and other negative things. The president said among the programs we offered are health, education, livelihood, and others. Moreover, they also specially discussed about the need of framing policy. So, nationally, based on the number, Myanmar only has half of those policy needs. On the occasion, Aung San Suu Kyi also conveyed to President Joko Widodo that the construction of a mosque in Rakhine State could be done well. She stated that the construction can be started regarding there is no more permission problem. During the state visit to Myanmar, the president was accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, and Cabinet Secretary, Pramono Anung. The Climate Reality Project, a global network based in Washington, D.C., United States, which focuses on the impacts of the world climate change, argues that the Indonesian government's policies are good enough to address climate change issues, especially deforestation of forest areas for commercial or industrial use. That was conveyed by the Climate Reality Project International Manager, Matthew Bombs, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday, April 28.
But the efforts that the government has been taking as far as protecting the forests, right?
Right.
Regulating how much those industries can take land cover from. Mm. I mean, those are really important steps. You know, in 2015, there was about 3% of global warming was attributed to deforestation just here in Indonesia.
Matthew Bombs added that the Climate Reality Project will continue to support the Indonesian government in effort to address climate change issues, especially deforestation, which currently becomes the main issue in Indonesia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Muslim society in Indonesia is going to welcome fasting month in a month to go. As usual, the price of some staple food will hike, especially toward Idul Fitri holiday. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that people should anticipate the price hike. According to him, it is really difficult to avoid it due to high demand of staple foods at the same time. Several staple foods that always hike toward fasting and Idul Fitri are beef, chicken, and chili.
So lebaran itu, pengalaman kita lebaran itu sebenarnya yang naik itu hanya barang yang dibutuhkan.
On the lebaran issue, from our experience, the rising prices only happened to the needed goods. It is because people suddenly want to eat chicken, want to eat curry, and want to eat ketupat or rice cake simultaneously, but the rising prices is really high. During the coming lebaran, other staple foods such as rice is stable, but the price of meat, chicken, chili are usually rice. The Vice President Yusuf Kalla moreover added, besides negative impact in economy for the society, the farmers will get positive impact for this rising. When the price of chili, onion hike, it is certainly adjusted by the selling price. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, should not let itself be used as a proxy for rivalry among the world powers, urging them to embrace its role as a regional diplomacy hub during an ASEAN leaders' meeting on Saturday, April 29. Amid political uncertainties and geopolitical rivalry on the world stage, the president said ASEAN should remain united and centralized. He urges fellow ASEAN leaders to be courageous in evaluating their own strengths and weaknesses in order to realize a relevant ASEAN for its own citizens and the rest of the world. President Joko Widodo also stated that ASEAN leaders should pay closer attention to challenges within the region and action should be taken before it's too late. He added that there has been an increase in transnational crimes, which take the forms of piracy, radicalism, terrorism, illegal unreported and unregulated fishing, and drug crimes. The president emphasized that ASEAN's motto of people-centered, people-oriented should not be a mere jargon, but be applied consistently instead. The last item. Following a recent spike in tensions in the Korean Peninsula, Indonesia has called for stability and peace in the region. President Joko Widodo expressed concern over the rising tensions in the Korean Peninsula during a retreat session at the 30th ASEAN Summit held at the former living room, Coconut Palace, Manila, the Philippines, on Saturday. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, should send across a strong message to North Korea to comply with all UN Security Council resolutions. The ASEAN also expects all parties to exercise restraint so that the situation in the Korean Peninsula will not spiral out of control. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said he will discuss the situation in the Korean Peninsula with President of the People's Republic of China Xi Jinping in the near future. ASEAN leaders also discussed other international issues, including counterterrorism and the South China Sea. Related to the issue of the South China Sea, ASEAN leaders expected the Code of Conduct framework to be completed by mid-2017. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian migrant workers enthusiastically welcome President Joko Widodo in Hong Kong. Indonesian government committed to cooperating and helping Rakhine State to achieve peace. Effort of Indonesian government to overcome climate change is evaluated quite good. That was the news.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Welcome back to our weekly edition from News from Across the Country. The segment presents interesting information from various regions from the week. Stay tuned. Our first news story comes from Sleman, Yogyakarta. The region of Sleman, Sri Purnomo, said last Tuesday that Sleman Regional Government, Yogyakarta, continues to improve public services through integrated e-government. On the 21st anniversary of the Regional Autonomy Day 2017 and the commemoration of Kartini Day at the local government of Sleman Regency, the region Sri Purnomo said that this year's regional autonomy themed with the spirit of regional autonomy, we improve the performance of public services through e-government in line with the vision of Sleman Regency in 2016 to 2021. The realization of a more prosperous Sleman community, independent, cultured, and integrated e-government system to the Smart Regency in 2021. According to Sri Purnomo, Smart Regency means that Sleman is smart in developing and managing various resources effectively and efficiently by utilizing information and communication technology to maximize public services and for sustainable development. Our next story comes from Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi. Thousands of residents crowded the location of Arena of Pesona Halo Sultra or Halo Sultra Enchantment, located at Tugu Religi area of Kendari City Square on Sunday night, April 23. The Pesona Halo Sultra is a series of commemoration of Southeast Sulawesi anniversary, which is held annually or performances. I should say with several activities, such as the development exhibition and cultural art performances. The Black Madras rice, which is developed by farmers in Tanah Pulang village, Bombana, Southeast Sulawesi, became the attraction of visitors in the exhibition of Pesona Halo Sultra 2017. Staff of Livestock Service Office, Siti Saira, said, the local farmers like to grow the purple stem and leaves rice species because it is resistant to bacteria and tropical fungi. She estimated there will be many farmers who grow the rice because the production can be 6 to 7 tons of dried unhulled, I should say dried unhulled grain per hectare. Our last story comes from Cilacap, Central Java. The penitentiary in Nusa Kambangan Island, Cilacap Regency, Central Java, is conceptualized to be more humanist. This is marked with the inauguration of the library building for the citizens at Batu Penitentiary on Thursday, April 27. The inauguration of the library, named Dinamika Aksara, or Dynamics of Literature, was done by the region of Cilacap Tato Suwarto Pamuji after leading the ceremony of the 53rd Penitentiary Day at Sodong Dock. The head of Batu Prison, Abdul Aris, said the tiny library room measuring 5 by 7 meters accommodates about 500 books. The types of books are quite varied, ranging from religious themes, general knowledge, laws, as well as skills. Cilacap Region Tato Suwarto Pamuji said, the main purpose of the opening of libraries in Batu penitentiaries is to provide stimulus to the assisted citizens or inmates to keep working. Furthermore, the Batu penitentiary will be drafted to provide a skill curriculum for as provision of inmates after going back to the public. Meanwhile, Cilacap Police Chief Adjunct Senior Commissioner Yudo Hermanto guaranteed the existence of the library will not interfere the prison internal. It will keep coordinating with the prison officer so that the use of the library remains orderly, safe, and comfortable. That was the news from across the country.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back. Today in History, we begin with an event on April 30, 1945, Adolf Hitler committed suicide. On April 30, 1945, after his plan and dream to conquer the world failed, Adolf Hitler committed suicide in an underground bunker located in Berlin, Germany. In World War I, Hitler fought for Germany. After the war, he established the Socialist and Nationalist Party, also known as Nazi. In 1923, Hitler was imprisoned for 8 months for allegedly planning a coup, and inside the prison, he wrote his famous book entitled Mein Kampf, containing his political views. 10 years later, he was chosen as Germany Chancellor, and 1 year later, he appointed himself as the president. In 1939, World War II broke out due to his provocation. Although gaining the upper hand in the beginning, Germany was gradually defeated by the Allies. We move into 1980. Juliana, Queen of the Netherlands, abdicated in the favor of her daughter Beatrix. Juliana Louise Mary Wilhelmina van Orange-Nassau, born in the Den Haag, Netherlands, on April 30, 1909. Became the Queen of Netherlands since September 6, 1948 until April 30, 1980. The Queen dedicated during her 71st birthday to her eldest daughter Beatrice. Far before her dedication, Queen Juliana got married with Bernhard Schur lived with Stafford, a German aristocrat and joined her 1937 and had 4 daughters, namely Beatrice, Irene, Margaret, and Marriage, who later changed her name into Christina. Queen Juliana replaced her mother, Wilhelmina. Being resigned from politics in 1980s, she was still active in social activities until 1995. When today in history, we didn't find on April 30, 1939, Monika Seles was stabbed in Herbert Open, Germany. The world's number one female tennis player, Monika Seles, a citizen of USA, was stabbed at her bed during the quarterfinal of Herbert Open when facing Magdalena Milipa in Bulgaria. The attack was committed by a fanatic of German tennis player Steffi Graf, who did not want Monika Seles replaced since Graf as the world number one. Due to that stabbing, Monika Seles was not able to play tennis for more than 2 years. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Spotlight of the Week, which today is on Economic Census Result 2016, number of businesses increased. The result of the 2016 economic census conducted by the Central Bureau of Statistics or BPS recorded an increase in the number of businesses companies in Indonesia within the last 10 years, Head of BPS Suharyanto in Jakarta on Thursday 27 April said that the results showed there were a total of 26.71 million non-agricultural business group into 15 categories of business field. This number has increased by 17.51% compared to the figure in 2006 economic census, which was 22.73 million businesses. There are a number of vectors driving the increase in the number of businesses or companies, such as the increasing number of population and the rise of online businesses. According to Suharyanto, 98.33% of the number of businesses recorded area of micro small scale enterprises, while 1.67% are medium and large enterprises. According to Suharyanto, this shows how big the potential of small and micro enterprises in Indonesia. He said that there are three business fields that dominate, namely trade and retail, repair and maintenance of cars and motorcycles, the provision of accommodation, food and beverages, and processing industries. These three sectors account for 79.42% of all businesses recorded throughout Indonesia. Meanwhile, large trading and retail business is 46.17%. Responding to the result of this census, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the data released can be used as a reference for the government in making policy in the future. He said the data presented certainly cannot be solely absorbed. That is, in taking the policy later, the government is have to weigh the data and other studies such as the inequality Gini ratio, inflation, poverty and unemployment. Although in macro and quality of growth is good, explanation of the data is still required. Meanwhile, Firman Shah, rector of Paramadina University, said that the government should focus on the policy in trade sector. He argued with the 46.17% dominance of business actors in the big trade and retail sector, the potential for economic growth contribution will also be great. Firman Shah said that with the target of prestigious economic growth until 2018, which is in the range of 5.4% to 6.1%, the government needs to encourage consumption as one of the driving motors of growth. One of the short-term solutions, according to Firman Shah, is to make the big trading and retail sectors more efficient and effective. That was Spotlight of the Week.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news and brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met thousands of Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong on Sunday, April 30. President Joko Widodo continues his visit in Hong Kong from the Philippines after attending the 30th ASEAN Summit. Indonesian Consul General in Hong Kong, Tri Taryat, at Conrad Hotel Queensway, Hong Kong, said that there are 5,600 citizens who attend the event. Indonesian Consul General in Hong Kong, Tri Taryat, at Conrad Hotel Queensway, Hong Kong, said that there are 5,600 citizens attend the event. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with the State Councilor of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, on the sidelines of the 30th ASEAN Summit in Manila, Philippines, on Saturday, April 29. During the meeting, they discussed the condition in Myanmar and the Rohingyas. The Climate Reality Project, a global network based in Washington, D.C., United States, which focuses on the impacts of the world climate change, argues that the Indonesian government's policies are good enough to address climate change issues, especially deforestation, for commercial or industrial use. Muslim society in Indonesia is going to welcome fasting month in a month to go. As usual, the price of some staple food will hike, especially toward Eid al-Fitri holiday. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that people should anticipate the price hike. According to him, it is really difficult to avoid it due to high demand of staple foods at the same time. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, should not let itself be used as a proxy for rivalry among world powers, urging them to embrace its role as a regional diplomacy hub during an ASEAN leaders' meeting on Saturday, April 29. Following a recent spike in tensions in the Korean Peninsula, Indonesia has called for stability and peace in the region. President Joko Widodo expressed concern over the rising tensions in the Korean Peninsula during a retreat session of the 30th ASEAN Summit held at the former living room, Coconut Palace, Manila, the Philippines, on Saturday. Listener, that was the news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will introduce Jemparingan, the traditional art curry of Yogyakarta. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Sport has become part of life for some people in Indonesia. Not only those such as soccer, badminton or running, there is another which lately has become increasingly popular among young people, archery. Yogyakarta has an ancient traditional archery called Jemparingan and is still preserved. Unlike archery in general, this Jemparingan has its own history, philosophy and technical base. Jemparingan tradition has existed since the time of the Javanese Mataram Kingdom hundreds of years ago. At the time, it was played by the kings and royal family members. The king of Mataram had made this game a mandatory among the royalties, but as time passed, this tradition began to play it also by ordinary folk as part of entertainment and also for preservation of a precious culture. Now, Jemparingan has become a popular again among the young generation. Unlike ordinary archery sport, which is performed in a standing position, Jemparingan is performed in two rows cross-leg sitting position and facing to the west. The position of sitting cross-leg is not without reason. According to the story, it's because in the past, the nobles usually shoot while talking about a business, enjoying coffee or tea and snacks. This sitting position was considered most appropriate and comfortable. In addition to sitting, unlike in the archery in general, Jemparingan participants are required to wear complete Javanese traditional costume, namely batik cloth or sarung, plankton headgear, kebaya blouse for female participants, and base cap jacket for male participants. Some even complete it with a kris or dagger. The tool used in this jemparingan is a bow and arrow made of bamboo. The target is a bedor or puppet that has a length of 30 cm with a diameter of 3.5 cm. The distance between the sitting position and the target is 30 meters. Listener, jemparingan is not only a regular archery sport, but it also meant to train the sharpness of the eyes or sight and concentration. The success of the participants usually depends on their mood. If the mood is good, the arrow will be easier to reach the target. But if the mood is full of anger or sadness, then the arrow will be difficult to hit the target. Therefore, it needs patience and full concentration in this jemparingan, especially since it is conducted in the cross-leg sitting position, which makes the pulling or stretching of the bow more difficult than in standing position. Particularly because the weight of the bow sometimes is not the same, the lightest is about 10 kilograms. Jemparingan competition is held on certain days using Japanese calendar like Pahing Tuesday or Kliwon Sunday. In Yogyakarta, you can see the jemparingan at Royal Plaza Ambarukmo Hotel every Friday at 3 p.m. Now that's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Jemparingan, the traditional archery of Yogyakarta. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people, of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, welcome back in Miscellany. Today we will talk about water hyacinth as the food alternative for fish. Stay tuned. Water hyacinth, or Aichornia crassiper, is one of the aquatic weeds. Its existence is often undesirable. Hyacinth is a plant originating from Brazil and is expected to enter Indonesia in 1884 at Kebun Raya Bogor as an ornamental plant. In the past, water hyacinth is an ornamental plant that is loved because the purple color in the flowers is very interesting. This plant has the ability to breed very high vegetative, especially in the tropics and subtropics. Hyacinth is easily spread even through water channels. Actually, the plants that flood in this water is the preferred plant of fish because it shelter from the sun and hide from predators. But if the amount is too much, the existence of water hyacinth raises many problems. In Indonesia, water hyacinth has spread throughout the water such as in reservoirs, swamps, lakes, and rivers. Until now, there has not been found a truly optimal way to combat the rate of growth of water hyacinth. Therefore, many people try to take advantage of this very fast-growing plant. One of them is Fisheries Department of Probolinggo Regency of East Java. Department of Fisheries, Probolinggo Regency, East Java make a breakthrough and innovation by conjuring plants water hyacinth into alternative feed ingredients that are rich in protein and vitamins. Head of Probolinggo District Fisheries Department, Dedi Iswandi, said hyacinth plants known as wheat or pest plants, but this plant can be used as a fish feed ingredients. The department uses a lot of water hyacinth plants which covering Rawa Tirta in Sumber Kedawang Village, Leches District, Probolinggo District. Meanwhile, Head of Fishery Cultivation Hari Pur Sulistiono explained that the utilization of water hyacinth into fish feeding production can be done through three methods, namely fermentation, chemical, and physical. Harry added, the physical method is easier than any other method because it does not change the protein content, while through the method of fermentation, it can be added protein, reduce the coarse fiber, therefore it easily digests by the fish. According to Harry, it uses fermentation method for the utilization of water hyacinth in Rawa Tirta. That is by storing it in a closed plastic for 8 days. He explained if the fermentation process goes well, then the scent will be like the scent of tape. According to Harry, the manufacture of fish feed by fermentation method takes a long time, but the result is good, eaten by fish with growth as usual. He said the utilization of water hyacinth for fish feed ingredients is intended to exploit local potential. In addition, it reduced the disturbance of water hyacinth plants that impact on the lack of smooth irrigation. Well, listener, that was Miss Lenny for today with the topic water hyacinth as an alternative food for fish. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are knowledge. In this segment, we also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Jose Socorro Soiro Maranhão in Brazil. He was listening to our broadcast in French program through frequency 9525 kHz on March 9th, 2017 at 2044 until 21 UTC, and the SINPO was 25332. Hello, Mr. Jose Socorro Soiro Maranhão. Thank you for always monitoring our broadcast. Although our broadcast signal is weak in your country, but we are really glad because your reception report quite detailed and clear. Well, Mr. Jose Socorro Soiro Maranhão, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Yeah, Jakarta's finest special collabo. The one and only Miss Weezy and myself, Dave Sleek. Lego. Yeah.
Ha ha. Coba dari dulu bilang padaku I love you, I love you. Ini aku merindukanmu, I miss you, I miss you. And it's been so long since our last and it's still so strong. Life keep brings me back to you, brings me back to you, brings me back to you. Life keep brings me back to you, brings me back to you, brings me back to you. Tonight. You are my puzzle pieces. You are my puzzle pieces.
Coba
dari dulu bilang padaku I love you, I miss you. Whoa.
back to you, brings me back to you, brings me back to you. Life that brings me back to you, brings me back to you, brings me back to you.
That's right.
Tonight.
Trust who I roll the dice with. You never give a damn about what other people say. Always keep your head up, smile when you're singing praise. You'd always get out your way to make it all okay. Even though nobody's perfect, but you're shining every day. I like it how you hold me down, you keep me out of trouble. You always get me going, got my hustle on the double. Keeping it together when the world about to crumble. Yeah, I got you, baby girl, you're the pieces to my puzzle.
Listener, now we will replay an email from Pranab Kumarai in India. He was listening to a radio program in Russian language through frequency 9526 kHz at 1810 to 1830 on February 20, 2017 with SIO454. Hello, Mr. Pranab Kumarai. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. As an information, our radio does not broadcast in Russian language. We broadcast in 7 foreign languages, namely English, Mandarin, Japanese, Arab, Spanish, German, and French, as well as Indonesian language as our national language through frequency 9525 kHz every day. You can also tune in our radio through our website www.voi.co.id. Nowadays, in collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents the Wonderful Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. So, what are you waiting for? Send your answer as soon as possible. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners for the quiz. Keep listening our broadcast every day and please send your reception report. And listener, wherever you are, now we will play a beautiful song for all of you. Enjoy the song.
Ku petik gitar untuk melupakan cerita lama, tak juga silam. Ku tahu cinta tak harus menguasai, ku tahu cinta tak harus memiliki, tapi terlalu pahit untuk dikenang. Kisah itu selalu tetap terbayang, terlalu pahit untuk dikenang. Trauma yang dulu tak mau menghilang. Kau kini bukan pergi. Ku tahu cinta tak harus menguasai.
Still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to replay a comment from Hayato Furukawa in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program on March 15, 2017 at 6:48 to 8 with the SINPO was 55555. In his email, Mr. Hayato Furukawa said that this is her first English report in this year. And if this report is correct, he asks to send him our QSL card. Hello, Mr. Hayato Furukawa. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really surprised because our signal in your country is very strong. It means you can monitor our radio very clear. And as you request, we will send our QSL card to your home immediately. Please be patient to wait for it. And we will wait your participation on our International Quiz 2017. Get the prize to visit Indonesia for free. Please send your answer. Who knows, you are the lucky winner. Well, Mr. Hayato Furukawa, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Kita berjumpa Getaran perasaan yang ku rasa di dalam dada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.